Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles, day 6. Today I'm going to talk about the tribulation and the two feasts. There's the two harvests, spring harvest and fall harvest. I must confess that I had help from a close friend who is knowledgeable in scriptures in putting this presentation together. Later in the presentation, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. If you have a piece of paper handy, later I'll tell you about it. It's a couple of verses I want you to look at, kind of a homework assignment. And what I'm starting here with is an introduction to the presentation. So let me get started. We are on a journey through life. We need to be well equipped with spiritual knowledge to make this journey. We have a very qualified minister and speakers among us to give us the spiritual foundation necessary to make this journey. My presentation is not about your spiritual growth. My presentation will provide you with information, a clear, detailed description of what we are about to experience on our journey in a very near future. It is intended to inform you. It is God's word that inspires you. Second Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When we decide to build a house or take a trip, we must first acquire an understanding of the current situation and what basic roles we need to accomplish this endeavor. If we are building a house, we need to know a timeline of what to expect, how long it will take, how much it will cost, what governmental rules must be followed. The same applies to taking a trip. How long will the trip last? What are the steps that we will be taken to complete the trip? Where does the trip begin and end, etc.? If the house is already being built or the trip is already in progress, we will need to know the current progress of the plan before joining. No one ever got on a bus without knowing where it was going, unless you're running from the police. I want to prepare you for the presentation. I'm going to get right to the heart of the issue so that you won't be overwhelmed when I do explain this in the main presentation. Every year at the beginning of God's new year, are the spring holy days and the early spring harvest, which represents the first fruit harvest. Scripture states that the resurrections during the spring first fruit harvest, starting with Christ, followed by the dead in Christ and the chosen living, who are changed to spirit, near the end of the tribulation, are first fruits. Revelation 14:4, these are they which were not defiled with women. We're talking about churches of the world, not female, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Understanding God's plan for humanity starts with first fruits. God's plan is accomplished in steps, and it is already in progress. God's word gives us guidelines of how this is accomplished. So before we jump in, we need to identify some basic rules to correctly understand this plan. Said very simply, God states that there is a spring first fruit harvest and a fall end of year harvest. Actually, God doesn't say spring or fall. He refers to them as seed time, beginning of year, first fruits, and harvest, an end of year in gathering of all nations. Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and winter, or day and night, sorry, shall not cease. There are four keys or rules to an understanding the timeline of God's plan for humanity. There are two harvests, one in the beginning of the year, referred to as seed time or first fruits, and one for the final end of year main harvest, called Feast of Ingathering. We experience this in our everyday lives now. Many crops are planted in the spring. Some can have an early harvest, but the main harvest of crops is in the fall. No farmer ever harvested his early crops in the spring and called it the end of year harvest. Rule number one. There are two harvests, and the two cannot be mixed together. Do not mix spring holy days with fall end of year holy days, or vice versa. Exodus 34:22. It's not what's on the screen, but let's see where that goes. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits, which is called Pentecost, of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. We should understand that God's commanded spring festivals, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost, are part of the first fruit harvest, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread represents a 7,000-year time period. The first 6 days of Unleavened Bread represent the first 6,000 years of coming out of sin, followed by a seventh day, the last holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a 1,000-year millennium. The entire 7,000 years is part of the first fruit harvest. The end of year holy days, or fall harvest, begins with the Feast of Trumpets, followed by the Day of Atonement. Before we go any further, is there anything that divides the two harvest festivals? A judgment of the righteous versus unrighteous occurs when Christ returns at the start of the millennium. Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is not the great white throne judgment. This is for the first fruit resurrections. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 4, is a description of Satan being bound for 1,000 years at the beginning of the millennium. You can't have two masters. Either you believe Scripture or you believe your own traditions. Scripture is very clear that Satan is released from his prison after the millennium. Revelation 20, verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Do you understand the implications of this scripture? Humanity cannot have atonement with God until we have had the Day of Atonement, which represents the final destroying of Satan in the lake of fire. After the 1,000-year millennium, Revelation 20, verse 10 states, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Isn't this what the Day of Atonement represents? The Feast of Trumpets is part of the fall holy days and is closely followed by the Day of Atonement. The Fast of Atonement is about the final judgment and end of Satan and the extension of the atoning sacrifice of the Lamb of God to the main harvest of humanity, while the Feast of Tabernacles is about the resurrection to physical life of the as yet uncalled and their ingathering into the family of God in the main harvest of humanity. If Christ returns at the end of the tribulation, on a day that you think is the Feast of Trumpets, that means that the Day of Atonement will be more than 1,000 years in the future. The fall holy days cannot be fulfilled during the 1,000-year millennium. The ingathering of all nations, Feast of Tabernacles, billions of dead resurrected to flesh, and every man judged and cannot occur during the millennium. Reference Ezekiel 37 in Revelation 20, verse 13. After the first fruit resurrections, Scripture makes it clear. Revelation 20, verse 5. The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This verse indicates that the 1,000-year millennium is part of the spring harvest of first fruits. So when does Christ return? You should already know. Christ already demonstrated this. Rule number two, in conformance with Revelation 20, verse 5, at the end of the millennium, no one has yet been resurrected to flesh, as described in Ezekiel 37. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, when such the second death has no power. Verse 5 and 6 indicates that the second death is still to come. Death has not been conquered in the millennium. So now we have scriptural proof that after the end of the millennium, Satan has not yet been destroyed in the lake of fire. The bulk of humanity has not yet been resurrected to flesh, proving that the fall holy days, the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Ingathering, Tabernacles, has not yet begun. It can be referenced to Exodus 34, verse 22. Leviticus 23, verse 24 states that the Feast of Trumpets is a memorial of blowing of trumpets and is part of the seventh month, end of year, holy days. There is no reference to the return of Christ in this scripture. The official purpose of the Feast of Trumpets for us after the millennium, when Satan threatens the nations again with his armies, is stated in Scripture. Numbers 10, verse 9. And if he go to war in your land against the enemy and opposeth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. In the Day of Atonement follows the Feast of Trumpets. Rule number three. The first fruit harvest must be completed before the main harvest can begin. After the millennium, on the Day of Atonement, Satan is destroyed in the lake of fire. Only then can the fall holy days, including the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering of all nations, begin. Continuing in the sequence of events in Scripture, Revelation 20, verse 13, states, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Every man was judged according to their works. This is not a flash on a computer screen, but resurrections to flesh and a later judgment. Does this sound like the ingathering of the nations and the great white throne judgment? Finally, death is destroyed, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. None of these events occurred during the millennium. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed. Reference 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. We'll get to that in a minute. Ezekiel states that the rest of the dead will be resurrected to flesh. Ezekiel 37 is a prophecy of the main fall harvest of Israel. While this prophecy is specific to Israel, we know that Israel is a forerunner to what will ultimately be offered to all humanity. Therefore, this prophecy also pertains to all humanity because during the Feast of Tabernacles of the fall main harvest, a bullock is sacrificed for each one of the 70 families of mankind, the primary racial groups of the Genesis 10 Table of Nations. God will resurrect all Israel and all humanity, all nations, who have ever lived and have not been resurrected to physical life. And they shall dwell in their own land. The rest of the dead, reference Revelation 20, verse 5, includes the resurrection of the valley of dry bones, which is the whole house of Israel, and all past humanity not yet resurrected. These dead are not resurrected to spirit and given a judgment to see if they qualify. They are resurrected to flesh. Let's not forget the billions of aborted babies that have never had their chance to experience life. Isaiah 65:20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Read it again. Death has not been destroyed. Sinners have not yet been judged. Verse 21, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat of the fruit of them. Do you still believe that the end of your harvest, holy days, the Feast of Tabernacles, which represents the ingathering of all nations, the great white throne judgment, are fulfilled during the millennium? In that at the end of the millennium, the earth is destroyed by fire and God creates a new heaven and a new earth, after which God establishes the holy city, New Jerusalem, on the earth. And then, after this, Satan is released to bring the nations to war again? Does that make sense to anyone? Understanding the timeline of God's holy day festivals unlocks the understanding of many scriptures. We at this time are only celebrating a shadow of things to come. Colossians 2 verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Rule number 4. The end of your harvest, the ingathering of all nations, is also a 7,000-year period. This is stated in Scripture. It's not my idea. This is your homework assignment. Write these Scriptures down. Read the following Scriptures in Revelation. Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15, and Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And compare them with these four Scriptures in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 10. You'll also learn when the final day of the Lord occurs. Another misunderstood scripture in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Reference Matthew 25, verses 31 and 34. Do you understand what this scripture just stated? These two events do not occur at the same time. Christ does not return to the earth to establish the kingdom of God when the first fruits are changed to spirit. First fruits are both resurrections of the dead in Christ and changing of the chosen living to eternal spiritual life. This includes the dead in Christ, the living elect, and the 144,000 servants, and later, at his coming, those judged righteous. The wedding of the Lamb of God takes place in heaven as the trump of God, the wrath of God, which are the seven last plagues, begin to be poured out upon the earth. I'll explain that a lot more in detail in the actual presentation. Shortly after the wedding, Christ returns to the earth with armies of angels to destroy the opposing armies in the winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness in wrath of Almighty God. Also Revelation 14, verse 19. The wrath of Almighty God, that is the seven last plagues. Before that is the wrath of the Lamb. Again, I'll explain that later in detail. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. The beast and false prophet are then thrown into the lake of fire. Reference Revelation 19, verse 20. And then at His coming, He will establish the kingdom of God on the earth. In Joel 2, verse 28, Christ states, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Didn't we see this word before? On the Feast of First Fruits called Pentecost in 31 AD, the new covenant of first fruits was officially confirmed by Christ, demonstrating the pouring out of God's Spirit upon a few called out to be first fruits of God's new covenant. Christ gave a perfect example of when God's Spirit will be poured out on all living flesh at His coming on a future Feast of Pentecost to extend the new covenant to all humanity. Joel 2, verse 28, Acts 2, verse 17. Through a judgment, Revelation 20, verse 4, mentioned before, awards are given to the resurrected, and those who have lived through the tribulation are divided into the righteous and unrighteous. There are no resurrections of the dead to flesh as described in Ezekiel 37 until after the millennium. Talking about the 1 Corinthians verse, the next verse in Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end. Cometh is obviously added if you look at the word in italics. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. Did you catch that? The end is when Christ delivers the kingdom to God. He shall reign until He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The first verse, 1 Corinthians 15:23, is when Christ gathers the elect at the end of the woe too, before the seven last plagues are poured out. The next verse, verse 24, describes events long after the millennium, after the fall harvest feast of tabernacles, the ingathering of all nations, when the last enemy, death, is destroyed. Death is not destroyed in the tribulation or in the millennium. And there is much more. My presentation is very intense, meaning that it's packed with information. In the presentation, the main presentation, you will hear the events that occur during the tribulation in much greater detail. As my friend explained to me, my friend can be found in John 15, verse 14. Now you are ready for the great tribulation. I'm sure that everyone is here to learn more about the Word of God, especially with what now appears to be the time of sorrows leading into the tribulation. I have some interesting information to reveal to you about the tribulation. And just to repeat, God commands three festivals in the beginning of a new year for His people based on the harvest in Judea. This presentation is about these three festivals, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Pentecost. These three festivals represent the first fruit harvest being called out of Egypt from the bondage to Satan and sin. The calling out the physical Israel from Egypt and their journey for 6 days, capped by a seventh day, High Holy Day, is a type of spiritual Israel being called out of sin, beginning with Abel for 6,000 years, and then the resurrection from the Red Sea of death to eternal life in a millennial Sabbath in the presence of our Creator. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Daniel 12, verse 4 states that in the end knowledge will be increased. God's word doesn't change. Our understanding of Scripture does. As we approach the tribulation period, we are now able to more clearly understand prophetic scriptures. Daniel 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We have the choice, the free will, actually, the obligation to learn about our future as children of God. I'll give you the usual warnings. Don't believe me. You have the same scriptures I do. We are to prove all things. Reference 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Christ stated that his people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. After physical Israel entered the promised land and began to till the soil, the harvest could not be reaped until the wave offering was lifted up to God the Father, picturing the beginning of the first fruit spiritual harvest with the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Late on the sixth day of Unleavened Bread, Israel came up out of the sea and then celebrated God's victory, High Day Sabbath, on the seventh day of that feast. This day pictures the harvest of the spiritually called out of the past 6,000 years, who have overcome and have been chosen, being changed to eternal life and raised up from the Red Sea of death, the grave, to the victory of God and eternal life. Should it be any surprise that the first fruit resurrections are doing the spring festivals, just as Christ was the first to be resurrected by God the Father? Then on Pentecost, at Sinai, all of physical Israel entered into a covenant with God, this being an instructional type that all Israel and all humanity then living would later enter into a new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31, at the beginning of the millennial Sabbath of rest on a future day of Pentecost, and God's Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, those who survive the tribulation. The Passover was for the sincerely repentant called out and not for the main bulk of humanity. The main harvest of the seventh month cannot begin until the atoning Passover sacrifice is extended to all humanity, and only then can Satan be judged and destroyed forever, as symbolized by the Fast of Atonement. But the fall Fast of Atonement cannot be applied to humanity until the spring first fruit harvest is completed, which ends with the completion of the 1,000-year millennium. And just as the spring first fruit harvest is a period of 7,000 years, the 2 Peter 3:8 warning, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, also applies to the seven-day Feast of Tabernacles. The scriptures I gave you to study or look at should help you. Pentecost pictures the pouring out of God's Spirit on the whole earth at the end of 6,000 years of coming out of sin, represented by the first 6 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to start the beginning of the 1,000-year millennium, represented by the seventh day, and leavened bread is used to symbolize the establishment of the kingdom of God. Leviticus 23, verse 16. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. 7th verse 17. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Those in the flesh who survive the tribulation and live into the millennium are mixed with sin. They have not been resurrected to spirit. A first fruit resurrection is a spring harvest. You can't have a spring harvest in the fall. This is why Pentecost is called the Feast of First Fruits. You can read it in Scripture yourself, Exodus 34, verse 22. Pentecost pictures the establishment of the reign of Jesus Christ as King of Kings of the Kingdom of God and the removal of Satan and sin from the earth for a millennial Sabbath of 1,000 years. The Scriptures tell us that the resurrection of the chosen, the dead in Christ, and the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel will take place at the end of the sixth day and before the seventh holy high day, which pictures the millennium. Revelation 20, verse 5, states that there will be no more resurrections of the dead until after the 1,000 years. Those living into or born during the millennium are also first fruits. They do not die and then await a future resurrection to be part of the main fall harvest. If repentant, they will qualify for a change of spirit, or if unrepentant, condemnation at the end of the physical lives. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As spiritual firstfruits, we will not be subject to the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death is after the millennium, after the white throne judgment. My question for you is, do you want to be part of the first fruit resurrections? A first fruit resurrection, or a change to spirit, is near the end of the tribulation. God's calling to us in this life is to teach and prepare us to establish the kingdom of God in the millennium, and to be laborers to help bring in the fall main harvest of humanity after the millennium, when their resurrection and judgment will occur. God tells us one of the ways by which Satan will deceive the world. Revelation 18:23. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Sorceries, Strong's number G5331, the use of drugs, potions, and enhancements, poisonings. That sounds like the time we're in now. The mark of the beast. Changing how God created you by taking a DNA-altering drug or a mind-altering dye and chip in the hand may make you unclean and unacceptable to God. Through a DNA-altering drug, using nanotechnology and 5G radio waves, your thoughts, forehead, can be controlled and monitored in real time. Placing a glowing identity dye and or a chip in the hand will give governments the ability to control your actions by a social score that controls your finances, travel, whether you can buy or sell. These DNA-altering drugs will require continuous booster shots to modify the human operating system, just like a computer. Computer chips for the hand and the brain are already being developed. Scripture states that you have the mark of the beast if you accept just one of these marks in the hand or the forehead. And a short video will enlighten you further.
One final way that's new and is promising is called the RNA vaccine. With RNA and DNA, instead of putting that shape in, you put instructions in the code to make that shape. You put instructions in the code to make that shape.
Everything that I'm about to mention is currently being developed by Bill Gates, often in partnership with the CV19 playbook, MIT, all of which is backed by the United Nations and the Rockefeller Foundation. Due to ongoing mutations with CV19, the CV vaccine currently being developed will alter our DNA through an actual synthesizing of our individual genetic code using mRNA and CRISPR technology, which acts as scissors by cutting DNA at a designated spot and removing or inserting a new sequence with an artificial code to make sure every man, woman, and child complies with the One World Order's mandatory implementations. Gates and MIT are currently developing the human implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. It's a tattoo for the hand, which will include our identification mark and vaccination records. It needs an enzyme called luciferase in order to make it work. The transhumanist agent on every person's hand will glow with the bioluminescence of the light bearer, a chip you cannot remove with a knife. This tracking system will alter your DNA, and it's permanent. 33rd degree Freemason and occultist Manly P. Hall once wrote, quote, "The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands."
So this is urgent, and it's going to require incredible collaboration. It's going to have to go to 7 billion people.
What's even more concerning is that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on March 26, 2020, applied for a patent number 060606, to take that biometric data, give you a barcode, and connect each of us to cryptocurrency so that we would become literally slaves to the system. Like everything, it would be the end of privacy, the end of freedom, because who gets the data? Who uses the data? And what do they do with it? So this patent to connect the vaccinated to crypto.
Okay, that's all I'm going to present today before we get deep into the subject. That'll be tomorrow.